Yeah, it's all human focused. I think that at the end of the day, if your intention is just to make money and to manipulate people in order to make money, that's bad. And we can't allow that to happen as a society anymore. Seriously. Because the earth isn't going to be here.
Hey guys, you just listened to a bit of my conversation with Samia, social entrepreneur and author, and overall an amazing human being. Welcome to another episode of Fent Show. My name is Diana Lopez. I'm your host, and I created this podcast. Well, FENT stands for Female Entrepreneurs. I created it to share conversations of women that inspire me so that you can get inspired as well. And most of all, that you take action on creating or starting or growing your business. So I know you're going to get really inspired by this conversation. It's actually one of my favorite interviews. So that's it for the intro, and let's start with the show. Hello, hello. I'm Diana, host of Fent Show. Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. I'm very thrilled today because I have a remarkable guest, Samia Munjal. Samia is a social entrepreneur whose work focuses on youth education and economic empowerment. As an advocate for the creation of a fair economy based on conscience transacting education reform and resource distribution, Samia believes that poverty can be eradicated through equal opportunity and economic and entrepreneurial education. To contribute to the alleviation of these issues, each of Samia's social enterprises provide economic education, financial planning, and resources to build socially conscious businesses. Hello, Samia. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. I'm very excited Good. You're here with us today.
I'm excited to be here.
All the way from Chicago. And before talking about your projects, I have a little bit of icebreaker question. What is the first thing that you bought with your own hard-earned money that you can remember?
Oh my gosh. Wow. This was like probably when I was a kid. You know, I think it was like Hello Kitty stickers.
Oh my God. That is so cute.
In my middle school, we had this like whole club that we had. And I remember like the other kids would have them. And my parents weren't the kinds of parents that gave us allowances. So I remember like starting to babysit in order to like, you know, have Hello Kitty stickers like my other friends.
Yes. Who was your favorite?
Just the regular. That's all I remember. I was really into Hello Kitty, and I was really into like Arthur. I don't know if you remember Arthur. He was on PBS. Yes. The aardvark. Uh-huh. Yeah, the aardvark was my favorite, personally.
Oh my God, so cute. This was the cutest answer that I've gotten so far.
Good.
I love it. And well, for those that don't know you, and aside from your bio and the introduction that I just gave, when you meet somebody and they ask, what do? How do you respond?
Oh my God, it's so hard these days.
I know.
I say I work in finance and education. Those are my two passions because I think that both are a little muddled. And so I'm trying to bring some light to both industries.
I see. But you are, you know, selling yourself short, I would say. Could you tell the audience about your three businesses or your three focuses at the moment?
Sure. Yeah. So Youthful Savings is where my entrepreneurial journey stemmed from. So that got started in Washington, D.C. around like 2013. And so it started off as just doing financial education and entrepreneurship programming. And then it turned into products that we then sell to K-12 institutions. And then we recently launched a website called learningmarketplace.org. And so what that is it's really enrichment products. So now Youthful Savings is really trying to create a hub for products that are experiential based and really teach kids to enrich their hearts and their brains together. So that's really where our focus is with Learning Marketplace now. So our biggest product is the My Own Business Challenge, which has been sold into schools across the nation. And then I've got, in order to fund all that, I'm also a CPA. So I started a CPA firm. So that's called CPA for the People. That got started in about 2014 as a way to fund Youthful Savings. And then I wrote a book called Audacious Endeavors. And so that's actually coming out in its third edition early next year. And that stemmed into doing some art advising work. So we work with artists and we help them, their art get sold.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So many things.
Yeah. You know, we just, it was all just New York City, I think. So getting this all started in DC and New York, I moved from DC to New York in 2013. And then, you know, it's like the capital of hustling. So you do what you got to do. And I'm really, really passionate about soul based businesses. And so I think nobody does that better than artists, especially the good ones. Yes. And so that's where CPA for the People's First Clients came out from, the emerging art scene in the Lower East Side. And so really helping artists flourish and get into the economy of like art collecting, I think, is really important to me. And we also give a percentage of our art sales to social causes, including the Youthful Savings Foundation. So we're just, I'm in the business of, you know, trying to help people buy good things and to help people create things that come from the soul.
I see. But what would you say that is your why? Why did you choose to focus on like having every single of your businesses have a social counterpart?
Mission. Mm-hmm. Living in DC was really tough. I didn't really realize what the structure of America was like and why systematic oppression existed. But it became quite clear to me that those that are in power, kind of get off on some people being poor. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, we have a history of racial oppression, and I just really want to do something about that. And so I think finance and education are the two fields that I like to tackle so that people are empowered.
I love that. And I know that it's your focus. So you are a CPA, and then that's why you focus on financial. But then you also went to, you know, you're trying to create more entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Which I think is amazing. You know, you're actually making an impact. Mm-hmm. And could you share with the audience what was the first business and how was that journey into, you know, when did the idea book spark and how did that go?
Yeah, so I was in DC. I was very disappointed at looking at poverty there because it didn't make sense to me that here is a city that is supposed to have some of the best leaders ever trying to lead people, and they're getting paid by our tax dollars. And yet there's so much like poverty and systematic oppression occurring in the District of Columbia. So when I was working at like at a asset management company, I had the opportunity to then volunteer at Martha's Table. And they then ended up hiring me to do a program with the kids. And so that's where I got the Mile Business Challenge started. So it was really teaching the kids to earn money and then incentivizing them for how much they save. So the kids learned how to sell stuff. We then incentivized them for how much they saved. Whoever saved the most got 10% back from us. And so that's where this journey began, because I just think if you want to get out of poverty, you got to learn how to sell and you got to learn how to save. My passion for having a CPA firm comes from, you know, listen, if you don't know how to do your taxes well and you don't know how to financially plan well, then you're just giving away money that could be used for social causes for yourself and also for others.
That is so powerful. I love what you said. You learn how to save and sell.
Yeah. I mean, so it can be anything. And if you're passionate about it, that's good. And then to take it to another level, listen, like the world is suffering on a grand scale. The earth specifically on a scientific level is suffering. So the more that we can inspire the youth to create things that are good for society and are going to be beneficial for generations to come, the better. And so I think we're really living in a time right now where there are some really successful companies that aren't necessarily doing much for the earth, right? So are they really helping stop what's causing climate change? Because unfortunately, if we don't focus on that, then we're not going to have a home to live in, right? Which is the earth. So now that I'm 5 years in to going down this route, I'm really focusing on making sure that we are really inspiring business owners to be like socially conscious about the People, Planet, Profit sort of methodology. And that's, it's a long battle and it's a hard battle because those that have a lot of money tend to have made it by manipulating the earth, honestly. Like, a lot of the big money that's in this country comes from oil. And there are a ton of statistics that show that, you know, extracting oil is causing harm on the planet.
Yes.
And using oil is causing harm on the planet. So I personally don't even have a car. I got rid of it when I moved from D.C. to New York. And I spent a lot of time in, like, L.A. where you probably should have a car. And I just refused to get one.
I see. Well, I think you're, you know, setting an example. So that's a good
point. Yeah, hopefully. Like, hopefully the voice is heard, right? Because that's the hard part. It just feels like every day is an uphill battle because we need, like, a culture shift. And so that's why it inspires me when I get to spend time with the youth because they tend to listen a little bit better.
I see. And you were you mentioned about the Learn Business Challenge.
That you My own business challenge. Mm-hmm.
My own business challenge and that you sold it to schools?
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about that program?
Yeah. So it's basically curriculum and lesson plans and also a web application. So the kids can track how much they're earning, how much they're saving, what their goals are. They measure themselves against that goal, those goals. They put in how they receive investment money. And then it also allows them to contact us if they have further questions. And so it's all turnkey now, and it's available for sale at learningmarketplace.org.
Amazing. I love that you're really helping them, you know, giving them, you're providing all the tools and also help. You know, it's not only just do it yourself, like you're actually
helping
out.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope I'm so glad that you picked up on that because we are definitely trying to be like a human focused technology company. And so we never want to lose that human focus. And that's really, really important for myself and our team as well.
Yes. And I think it differentiates you from others, you know, because there's so many apps and websites out there, but if there's no human touch or, you know, help from an actual human being, it just doesn't feel like the heart is in it. So
yeah. And you don't want to ignore a kid. Right. Yes. If you ignore a kid, really bad things can happen in the future. You never know what person will come into power as well. So I'm not in the business of ignoring children personally. And I try not to ignore humans as well. Any humans, which I think is actually a thing that I like to touch base on, is I think we're in a time right now where it's really easy to disregard humans because people don't respond back to emails or there's an information overload that's happening. And so as somebody that's trying to manage teams, like I'm really focused on making sure that our teams communicate well. And I'm, you know, it's always good, I think, to have tough conversations and resolve it versus like not doing that.
Yes, I could not agree with you more. It's really common, you know, that people just ignore emails. They just ignore texts. And
so bad.
I know. Or people ignoring people in real time. You know, when they're like in person, they're just stuck to their phones and meetings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's an addictive component to it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So it's specifically with social media. And so that's why our hope with Learning Marketplace is to get kids excited about learning. And we do a lot of reflection based exercises. So, you know, our intention was really to get kids excited about learning and getting off of social media and doing some things with their life. because I think it's really going to take away productivity in the next 10 to 20 years, honestly, if we don't make a shift. I think that reality television is really bad. I think our current president wouldn't have gotten elected if he didn't have the exposure due to reality television. There's a lot of things we're trying to tackle.
There's a lot of things you want to tackle.
Yeah,
one at a time. Just want to solve the world.
It's all human focused. I think that at the end of the day, if your intention is just to make money and to manipulate people in order to make money, that's bad. And we can't allow that to happen as a society anymore. Seriously. Because the earth isn't going to be here.
Exactly. We're just tearing it apart. And I really congratulate you because everything that you're doing is making an impact on, you know, the youth on the planet and also entrepreneurs, you know, like the artists, but also the future generations because you're planting seeds and this is going to be just like a wave of impact. So
I hope so. I really do. Thank you for saying that.
Yes. Good. Thank you for doing what you do. So we need more people like you with, you know, businesses that give back in a way or actually have a social mission behind it. Mm-hmm. Well, more than behind it, that it's part of its mission, you know, the
right,
core
part
of the business.
Yeah. Daily basis, I think, is what, you know, is important.
Exactly. And I know that, you know, we want to have a like a real hard conversation about entrepreneurship as well. And mm-hmm. what would you say that so far, sorry, has been your biggest struggle with all of your endeavors?
I have really strong values and I have really strong ideals, and I just don't waver from that. And I really have to congratulate like my mom my mom's a social worker, and like I just got yelled at a lot and I still do, you know? And so I don't want to, like, my mom would just be so upset if I was a bad person or I like took advantage of somebody or if I like did something that would harm like the karmic relationships of people, you know? And so it's hard because I live in a world where it's like common practice to just like disregard people or screw people over. And it's just not how we need to operate. And I think we live in a world with so many people now that if we don't treat each other with fairness and with integrity and with respect, and we don't listen to each other, like, we're not going to have a good society. And you see that now, like, there's just so much violence that happens on a daily basis. And you never know, like, when you could be part of a mass shooting, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, what would it look like if we just sat there and had a conversation with the person that was about to shoot somebody? But you never, and that's why I'm so passionate about trying to reach the kids at a young age, because it can make a difference. Like, people tend to grow up having holes in their heart, unfortunately, because somebody didn't impact them correctly. And I'm not saying that, like, I have a tough personality. Like, I can be very upfront and very in your face, but I would almost rather be in someone's face and resolve something than not. And so I think because I'm so strong in that, I often get hurt a little bit. Because I wish that we lived in a world where we all hoped to like mediate problems before it became too big. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at now. Like, I'm 34 and I've been doing this thing for a while, and I'm just like, man, like, we just all need to be better humans.
Yes.
Like I need to be better every day. Everybody else needs to be better every day. And I just, you know, that's just kind of the journey that I'm on right now. And it's just really disheartening to like see what the state of the world right now. It's not good.
And do you have any of the, like, do you have a project that never actually launched, that you had like the idea, or you just didn't have the time for it, that just hasn't worked out?
So you're talking to somebody that doesn't give up. So the secret is, you know, like, I didn't pass a CPA exam right away. I failed that before I got it. I didn't pass one of my FINRA licenses the first time. So I'm just not a person that gives up. And so I like to teach that to the kids too. Like, if you don't give up and you're really passionate about what you're doing, like, it'll turn into something. And are we where we want to be with Youthful Savings? Absolutely not. Right. And so we need to keep going far into that. Am I where I need to be in all my companies? Probably not. Like, every day we've got to push that forward and impact more people, you know? So mm-hmm. I think that, so I guess no, because I don't give up is really the answer. And I don't,
that's the best
I try
answer
not,
I've had yeah, from this question.
Yeah. And I don't tend to, like, it's hard, but I try to remember that, like, the definition of success can be different for different kinds of people. So mm-hmm. for me, it's just like any sort of movement is better than no movement. Right. And so, I think the answer, like, you know, the book, it's on its third edition, right? It wasn't an easy thing either. And now we have to launch it again under a different publisher. So that alone has been like a hassle. And now we have to like make sure that people read it and that there's impact that's being done. And so, you know, I think you just don't give up. But that's the best thing that I could say. But I wouldn't sit here saying like, oh my God, I made it in life, because that's definitely not how I feel.
Yes, but you're a work in progress. And it's
exactly.
It's, you know, it's a journey. And it's really important that everybody that's out there and they want to, you know, start their own businesses, that they know that it's, you're never completely fulfilled. You're like, right. I'm done. It's like, no, it's
right.
You also, you know, like you said, you want movement and you're doing a lot as well.
Right. I'm managing a lot. I would yes. say that it's definitely not just me. There's lots of people that have their hands into the buckets.
Yes. And speaking of which, what would you say that for you is one of the key elements, or what do somebody has to do or be to be part of your team? Like what do you focus on when you review CVs or when you're in the interview?
I'm a very instinctual person. So there has to be like some sort of spark that I feel that a person has. And I guess the definition of that is somebody that really wants to learn and grow, is really like, obviously, like I'm really passionate about education and learning and always remembering that you don't know everything. And it's important to, cause I don't, and I get so much out of my team members when they like call me out on things, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you have your perspective of who you are, and then there is how you affect others, right? So someone that's really open to that is something that I think is really important, and somebody that has a ton of compassion and wants to work things out is really big for me, because I'm also a very like confrontational person. So I'm not like scared of it. So that's how I grew up. So, you know, somebody that's willing to have tough conversations in order to grow. We're a very people focused like organization, I guess. And so we have to be like really cognizant on how we present ourselves to people, I think is also really important. But then at the same token, having the strong values of like integrity and respect are important. But our three big C's are compassion, collaboration, and contribution. So definitely like hard workers, work well together, willing, everybody's voice is heard. And then just a ton of compassion is incredibly important, because everybody has bad days. Everybody has good days. Sometimes we have off days, you know, and it's out of our control. And so we just gotta, yeah, we gotta just grow and work through it. At 34 now, like I really appreciate like loyalty, you know, not like blind loyalty, but just like willing to go through the ups and downs, because when you're in like startup mode, there's definitely lots of ups and downs.
Yes, definitely. And well, now talking a little bit about revenue, what are all the ways that you generate revenue? Is it all the companies that you mentioned, or do you have something else?
All the companies that I mentioned, yeah. Mm-hmm. So CPA for the Firm by far does the best, because it's a finance company. And then Youthful Savings is the most expensive company. And, you know, and I, my intention was just to reach the kids, right? And we're definitely still building that out a lot. And we hope that Learning Marketplace is really the way for us to reach directly to the kids. And then Audacious Endeavors is both my book and also the artists that we feature. But yeah, those are the three ways that I make money.
Perfect. And, you know, we all learn from others. And I wanted to know if you have, you know, a mentor, a business coach, or somebody in business that you look up to, and why.
My mom. I mean, she's my business partner. So I just think that my mom grew up in India. She moved here when she was 20. She's a social worker and dealt with a lot of racism. And as a first generation American, an Indian American, I guess, I just have a unique opportunity to maybe have some more doors be opened up for me that maybe my mom didn't. But the moral compass, the integrity, and like the deep, 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 like love and compassion for humanity comes from her. And it allows me to then go into like some really tough fields like technology and education and finance. Right. But definitely my mom.
I love that. And I love that she's also, you know, she has shaped like the not also your values as a person, but also the values of the company, you know, because yeah. you know, like you mentioned, like she's a social worker, and I can see how that translated into what you do now. So I think
that's we're just
wonderful.
Combining. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. No, we're combining her like homemaking skills, which I think are economics, and her social work skills to really tackle some socioeconomic issues that are a big problem in this country called America.
Yes.
So, you know, you got to do something about that.
I love it. And I love that, you know, that you did mention, because I read it in your website, you know, but that you mentioned in the interview that she's your your partner. And it's wonderful mm-hmm. to see, you know, women and women just working together.
I totally agree. It's great. Thank you for saying that. I think I say that all the time. I think that as a woman, it's very difficult. We have an uphill battle. I think that, you know, my situation is much better than my mom's situation and her generation. But I think that, like, the best thing that we can do is support each other, because it's just hard. It's hard being a woman. And I love working with women. And I'm so grateful for the women team members that I have, because we work things out a little bit quicker than some of the team members. But, you know, because there's just communication. Like, men don't necessarily communicate as openly as women do sometimes. And so that can cause some issues. But, you know, every human matters. Yeah. But, yeah, I know I'm a big proponent of supporting women 100%, especially in the CPA firm where we work with a lot of women clients.
Yes, and I also wanted to congratulate you on that, you know, because you are, you know, you're representing women and in a field that's not common. You know, it's mm-hmm. tech and finance. So mm-hmm. I think it's a great, you know, besides that you're doing great stuff, this is really good to have women actually in the field working. So in fields cool. that normally aren't there for, there's not a lot of girls.
We got to do equality, man. I think the next generation will have a better, I mean, it wasn't easy for me. It isn't easy for me. I also like don't play the game of Ponzi scheme mm-hmm. investments in order to grow the valuation of the tech company. We're much more focused on just like revenue-based growth. So that's interesting as well. But that then allows us to not be like owned by our board, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, no, it's interesting. It's been, you know, a tough battle. I always remember though that like we have it better than other generations did. And that's really true. And I think that the next generation below us will hopefully have a better time seeing each other as equal.
Yes.
Than the millennials.
Yes, and I think that's on all of us, you know, that to leave it better. Not, I mean, mm-hmm. obviously the planet as well, but this is very important. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be mm-hmm. lovely when there's no, you know, there's just sexism. Sexism, and there's just skirts everywhere, like in every single field. You know, it's not going to be like, oh, there's just one lady in engineering. So.
I know. There's one other thing I could tackle that I haven't tackled yet is I would love for women to not make money off of being objectified. And unfortunately, yeah. I don't think that is going to, like, okay, I'm just going to say some stuff. But, if you knew who Donald Trump was, and, like, I had a little personal experience with him because one of my friends was Miss Illinois, and so she then knew Donald Trump. And his business mentality, but he was a shitty business person. Okay. Like mm-hmm. he didn't pay his vendors. He screwed people over. He yep. would do bankruptcy. Okay. Now you have Kim Kardashian that essentially like owns the internet, and you know, she's inching her way to the White House. And so like either women decide to get into intellectual fields and respect their bodies or sell their bodies. And I would really hope that we like respected our bodies and didn't sell it, honestly, because unfortunately that's going to come to full tilt as well, because that's who's inching to the White House next.
Oh my God. No,
it's true. I mean, just look at it. It's happening.
I know. But yes, I think this is a great topic that it's, you know, hopefully we like this generation, and like I said, it's like on all of us to like inspire or have, you know, more things out there so that women, you know, go into those fields, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like,
and aren't intimidated. And exactly. Don't think that their body needs to be a way for them to find their worth. Seriously. Because mm-hmm. like, I was just in Santa Monica and I saw like a pimp situation occurring in front of me. I called 911 on them. Nothing happened. I then saw them again. And I just asked the woman, I'm like, are you okay? And I got yelled at by the pimp dude. Like I just would love to live in a world where women could utilize their brains and not be taken advantage of, you know? And I just think that this is a very serious issue that we have, and we really need to support women to get educated and also to not think that their bodies are something that should be objectified and should be used as a way to gain popularity on social media and as a way for them to make money. There are other ways to make money than to show yourself being naked, seriously. And I don't mean to be like conservative about it. I just think that I wouldn't want to go to bed at night thinking that that was a way that I was making money personally. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yes. Let's hope for, or just, you know, let's work on it. I think that it's,
yeah.
Also, one of my missions is to, you know, get girls, like the most girls educated that I can. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just like all over the world, you know, generally, yeah. Because we have it, we have a, I mean, I'm from Mexico and, mm-hmm. yeah. and in the US as well, like, you know, and girls have access to education, but it's not all over the world, you know? So it's,
no, it's not. And unfortunately, like parents don't always support education as well. Right. That is mm-hmm. the biggest issue. I deal with it all the time with Youthful Savians. You know, we can get the kids so far, and then if they're not getting it at home, and I can't just like adopt all the kids, you know, yeah. I love to, but I can't. And so I wish media, and I think you're doing a great job, but thank I wish you. Media portrayed smarter women on there more so. Mm-hmm. And we had a more of like a culture shift where women's intelligence was put to the table and their positive attributes were put to the table and who they are, you know, as a woman and their bodies is great in like a private bedroom, right? But I don't think that having that out there for everybody is like that helpful, because unfortunately that can then turn into like an industry that I don't think is very respectful to women personally.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Well, let's do some work.
yeah, I know. We're doing it with this conversation.
Yes, we are.
I'm sure there's going to be differing opinions about this, because unfortunately you have this whole like women's liberation and like, you know, we should be, you know, and that's a whole other thing. But I just know that, you know, you're either objectified and you're put into a certain bucket, or you're thought of as a thought leader and somebody that can be an equal in a boardroom. Right.
Yes.
And I would like to see the latter.
Yes, we will. With more of this, we will for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This gets me a little bit worked up.
I know. It's a tough battle, unfortunately, because it's a tough battle because you deal with the women of the other side, and some women really appreciate, you know what I'm saying? Like that's the issue. And so I don't know.
Exactly. All righty. Well, now looking into going back to business, mm-hmm. looking into the future, what is next for Soumya? Are you currently cooking up a new project, a new book?
No, I'm done.
Anything else?
I am done. I'd love to write more books. I love writing books. I have a ton of learning products that I need to write for learningmarketplace.org. There's a ton of work that we have to expand that mission to really make a dent in K-12 education. Mm-hmm. I think that for me, it's just like, meeting really great people and collaborating and finding ways to align our missions and seeing everybody grow type of a thing is really where I'm at. But I don't have any more like companies in me right now.
No more companies in
me? Yeah, I'm done. I think I'm done. I would absolutely love though to, continue writing books. That is something that I'm really passionate about. I'm really passionate about, education and critical thinking. And I think books do a really good job for that. Yes. I try to limit my like TV time personally. So I have a tough battle ahead of me. You know, I'm going against like media and books. Maybe yes. I don't always go together. So.
Yes, I agree. Well, I would be really excited to see what other books you come up with next.
Yeah. The next one's called Pray for Dollars.
Really?
Yeah. It's called, Pray for Dollars, The Dichotomy of Money and Spirit. So yeah, I don't know how long that'll take, but I'm in the process of writing it.
That sounds so exciting. And I would love to have you back. And
thank you.
When you have that new book, so we can promote it and talk a little bit about it and see if you have another company.
No, I am, Yeah,
I don't know why, but I kind of feel like you're gonna have one. You say no.
Oh no. I want to see. I'm definitely down to like invest in other people's companies, and I definitely want to see like some dope youth companies come out of the work that we do with Youthful Savings and promote them. But I'd much rather see. I want to grow our companies, and then I definitely want to like be behind other people that have great ideas. You know, I'm feeling kind of like a grandma here, but I don't have any more energy personally for more creations, but I'd love to be like behind, you know, youth businesses and other people that are creating good businesses.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome. And I know you have a good eye, so it's going to be great. And well, I think we're almost out of time. And before we leave, for those that are out there that want to launch their businesses, or they're, you know, just barely getting some inspiration out, but if somebody hasn't taken the leap, what would be your words of wisdom for them? Like, you know, just to
start. So I wrote a book about it. Yeah. Unleash Endeavors. But, the premise of the book is really just figuring out what it is you're really passionate about and then going after it because the world deserves it. So if you really believe in something, you have a duty to share it with others. And I think entrepreneurship is basically just like your artist. It's like your artistic ability, you know, and that everybody has. And not everybody is built for entrepreneurship, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't still I think everybody can have a side project if that's something that they're really passionate about. I think that's really good for your taxes. But if you know that you're built for entrepreneurship and you're willing to go after it, then I think the most important thing to do is just don't give up and to really believe in yourself and believe in the universe and really seek out those that support you, like genuinely, because support can take you a really long way.
That is so powerful. Support can take you a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree. Well, thank you so much for being here. And also, just before we go, could you just mention all of the ways that people can connect with you, your social media and your website links?
So I actually have zero social media.
Oh dear.
But yeah, I'm not a fan. But I do have access to like the company social medias that we have.
That would be a way too for them too.
Yeah. And I'm sometimes active on them. So Learning Marketplace is on Twitter. Youthful Savings is on Facebook, and Learning Marketplace and Youthful Savings are essentially the same company, but we just kind of interchange them sometimes. And then I have a website though, somiamunjul.com, and there's a contact space on there and you can always contact me. CPA for the People has a website. There's a contact there. You'll contact me through that. So you just have to go to my companies and then you'll find me.
Perfect. And I'll make sure to have everything in the show notes so you can visit every single link and also check out the book when it's out.
Yeah. So. And I would just, you know, I'm not a huge Mark Zuckerberg fan, so I can't give him any more money personally. and I'm a little bit too controversial to be on Twitter under just my name. I don't trust myself. So I tend to stay
hilarious.
But I'm much better one-to-one and face-to-face, or once you get to know me, I think you'll like me a little bit better. So I try to stay away.
What? You're the best. We're talking about.
I know, but that's because we're talking. But if you just saw some of my opinions on social media, I don't think that you know, it's just not a great. It's just you open yourself up to a lot of misunderstandings, I think, and when I just don't partake personally.
I see. Oh my God, you're the best.
Alrighty. I love you. Thank you for saying that. Can't wait to hear this one, and thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being here, and well, thank you. Everybody who's listening, and you know, I know they're going to take, everybody's going to take a lot of inspiring things out of this one. So thank you, everybody. And make sure to follow us on all socials. We are at Fent Show. Thank you, Samia.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.